Welcome back to The Deep Dive, the show where we slice through the noise and pull out the most important nuggets of knowledge and insight from your sources. You know that feeling, right? You're in a startup, there's this incredible energy, amazing innovation, things are moving at lightning speed. But then, quietly, sometimes that little voice whispers, are we actually building something sustainable here? Or things about to unravel? Well, this deep dive is all about silencing that whisper and tackling that feeling head on. In our last deep dive, we kicked off this powerful new series, pulling insights directly from Emmanuel Bakar's brilliant book, Startup Process Improvement, Volume 1, Turning Chaos into Cash. We really zoomed in on that process-first mindset, understanding how processes aren't just bureaucratic chains designed to slow you down, but actually incredibly powerful enablers of speed, quality, and even innovation. We even started to untangle Bakar's process-first revolution flywheel, showing how it creates this incredible virtuous cycle of growth.
Exactly. We laid the groundwork, showing that the old mantra, move fast and break things, just isn't cutting it anymore if you're aiming for lasting success. Today's true winners, as Bakarvi so clearly articulates, are those who manage to move fast and build enduring value simultaneously, and the non-negotiable foundation for building that enduring value, solid, well-thought-out processes. So if our last deep dive was really about shifting that mindset, about recognizing processes as a genuine superpower for your startup, then today we're diving headfirst into Chapter 2 of Bakarvi's book, Startup Process Fundamentals. This is where the rubber meets the road. We're going to give you the essential building blocks, helping you pinpoint exactly what processes your startup truly needs, and perhaps even more crucially, how to build them effectively. We're moving beyond just the theory and into actionable strategies you can implement tomorrow.
That's right. Our mission for you today is to equip you with a really comprehensive framework. We want you to walk away from this deep dive with a clear understanding of how to identify, prioritize, and then genuinely implement those core processes that every successful growing startup absolutely needs. Think of this as your practical playbook, your step-by-step guide to transforming that raw, chaotic startup energy into something far more powerful, sustainable, scalable growth. So let's really get into this core idea from Bakar's work. He champions the idea that processes are ultimately enablers, not stiflers. But the persistent challenge, especially for many founders in high-growth startups, is this deeply ingrained association of process with bureaucracy. It's almost a knee-jerk reaction. What's crucial here is a very clear, very important distinction Bakar makes between what he terms enabling processes and bureaucratic processes. It's not just semantics. It's fundamental to how your startup operates.
This distinction is absolutely vital because it dictates the entire trajectory of your startup's growth. Will your processes act as rocket fuel, accelerating your progress, or will they become heavy anchors, holding you back? Bakare draws a sharp line in the sand. On one side, you have what he calls enabling processes. These are defined by their flexibility, their laser focus on outcomes, and their genuine capacity to add value. They aren't rigid dogma, they adapt to evolving circumstances, they are singularly focused on achieving tangible results. And crucially, they make work inherently easier and more effective for your entire team. They streamline, they clarify, they empower.
So that's the ideal. But what about the other side of that coin? What are those bureaucratic processes that we're desperately trying to avoid? And more importantly, how do we spot them before they take root?
On the flip side, we have bureaucratic processes. These are the ones characterized by rigidity, an obsessive focus on rules for rules' sake, and a consistent tendency to drain value rather than create it. They often exist purely because that's how we've always done it, slowing everything down and quickly becoming a significant burden. They add friction, not flow. The dangerous misconception that Bakari is trying to dispel is the idea that all processes fall into this latter category. That's simply not true. This raises an important question for you, the listener. As you look at your own operations, how can you ensure that the processes you put in place are the flexible, value-adding kind, rather than inadvertently creating the bureaucratic traps that stifle innovation and growth? It's a constant vigilance, not a one-time setup. This crucial distinction between enabling and bureaucratic processes naturally leads us directly into another foundational concept from Emmanuel Bakari's book, The Process Maturity Journey. It's diagrammed in Figure 1.5 of his book, and it's a powerful visual. Building a process-first mindset and integrating it into your startup's DNA isn't some sudden overnight transformation. It's not a switch you flip. Instead, Bakar first frames it as a journey, a continuous evolution that unfolds as your startup grows, learns, and matures. It's a gradual, ongoing progression, much like building a muscle rather than a one-time fix.
I really like that analogy of building a muscle. So, if it's a journey, what are these distinct stages that startups typically experience as they move from, perhaps, a state of initial chaos towards operational excellence. Can you walk us through those four key phases?
Absolutely. Bacara outlines four key stages in this journey. First, foundation. This is your starting point. Here, the focus is on simply documenting critical, repeatable tasks. Think of it as getting the crucial tribal knowledge out of people's heads and onto paper, even if it's just a simple checklist or a quick flow diagram. The primary goal at this stage isn't perfection, but rather shared understanding.
Okay, just getting the basics down.
Exactly. Like, how do we onboard a new customer? What are the basic steps for processing a sales lead? Getting these down ensures everyone knows the fundamental sequence, reducing immediate confusion and errors. It's about creating a baseline of consistency.
Makes sense. What's next?
Next is standardization. Moving beyond just basic documentation, this stage is all about achieving consistent execution and establishing clear roles and responsibilities for each process. It's about actively reducing variation in how tasks are performed.
So getting everyone on the same page, doing it the same way.
Precisely. If you have five different people doing the same thing five different ways, this stage aims to bring them to a single, agreed-upon best way. It ensures everyone is literally working from the same playbook, which is crucial for predictable outcomes and quality. Imagine a sales team all following the same lead qualification steps, ensuring no potential customer slips through the cracks.
Right. Consistency is key there. Then what?
Then comes optimization. At this stage, you're embracing continuous improvement as a core principle. You're actively streamlining processes based on hard data and consistent feedback. This is where you start asking, how can we make this faster, more efficient? Where's the waste? What can we automate?
So looking for ways to make it better constantly.
Exactly. It's about constantly refining and enhancing. For instance, analyzing your customer support process and realizing that a particular step consistently causes delays, then redesigning it to remove that bottleneck. This is where you really start seeing significant gains in speed and efficiency.
Okay. Foundation, standardization, optimization, and the final stage.
That's excellence. This is the pinnacle, the ideal state. Here, process improvement isn't just something you do. It's truly baked into the company culture. It's proactive, rigorously data-driven, and it becomes a distinct competitive strength for the organization. Processes aren't just tools. They're an intrinsic part of your operational DNA.
Wow, so it's just how things are done.
Exactly. Your teams are naturally looking for ways to improve. Problems are identified and solved systemically. And the organization can adapt and scale with incredible agility because its processes are inherently robust and designed for evolution.
That breakdown makes so much sense, and it perfectly illustrates that building operational muscle idea. You start with those foundational movements, then you build consistency, then you begin to refine for efficiency, and finally it becomes second nature. Part of your very DNA. It's a journey of maturity, not just a set of instructions.
What's truly fascinating here is the direct, powerful link between progressing through this process maturity journey and how it fuels what Bacare calls the process-first revolution flywheel, which we touched on in our last deep dive. For those who might have missed it, think of a flywheel. The more you push it, the faster it spins, and the easier it becomes to keep it spinning. Each step you take towards greater process maturity creates a powerful, virtuous cycle of benefits for your startup.
I remember that flywheel analogy and it really resonated. But how does achieving this process excellence by moving through that maturity journey really create that powerful, compounding, virtuous cycle? How do these elements truly feed into each other?
It's a beautifully integrated system. As you deliberately move from a state of chaos towards operational excellence, you don't just see isolated improvements, you see a compounding effect where each gain amplifies the next. Think about it. Enhancing profitability. By systematically eliminating waste, reducing errors, and increasing efficiency through optimized processes, you directly impact your bottom line. You're doing more with less, which translates directly into higher margins and improved cash flow. This newfound efficiency then frees up valuable resources.
Makes sense. More efficient means more profit.
Then, improving speed and quality. Consistent optimized processes naturally lead to faster delivery of higher quality products and services. When everyone knows exactly what to do, how to do it, and the process is streamlined, you cut down on rework, delays, and inconsistencies. This speed and quality creates happier customers and a stronger market reputation.
Right. Speed and quality, not one or the other.
Exactly. Which leads to reducing chaos. Predictable, well-defined processes replace ad hoc, frantic efforts. That feeling of constant firefighting and reactive problem solving starts to diminish, bringing a sense of order and calm to your growth. This reduction in chaos isn't just a morale booster. It frees up mental bandwidth for strategic thinking and innovation.
Yeah, less time putting out fires, more time building.
And finally, efficient scaling. This is where the flywheel really shows its power. With robust, well-documented processes, your startup can grow without unraveling. You can onboard new employees faster and more effectively, expand into new markets with confidence, and handle increased volume without breaking under the pressure. Instead of growth leading to breakdown, it leads to acceleration. The profound insight Bakare emphasizes is that speed and quality become mutually reinforcing. This is the exact antithesis of the old move fast and break things mentality. Bakare himself experienced this firsthand with his own company, AquaHost. They went from 5 to 50 employees in just 18 months, with revenue doubling quarterly. That's explosive growth by any measure. But without the underlying processes to support it, that rapid expansion led to a painful $150,000 loss and brought the company to the brink of collapse due to widespread process gaps. That story powerfully illustrates how the process maturity journey isn't just about internal tidiness, it's about building the resilience and structure that ensures your innovation and growth translate into enduring, profitable success, preventing exactly that kind of breakdown. It's the difference between a controlled explosion and a chaotic implosion.
That AquaHost story is a stark reminder that growth without process is actually a recipe for disaster. So we've got the mindset, we understand the evolution through these maturity stages, and we see how it fuels the flywheel. But for someone listening, what does this actually mean for getting started? How do we get our hands dirty and implement this?
That's the critical next step. Bakare doesn't just offer theoretical models. He provides practical tools within his startup process fundamentals in Chapter 2 that are perfectly suited for navigating this journey. For instance, especially when you're a startup with limited resources, knowing exactly where to start your process improvement efforts is absolutely critical. That's precisely where his process prioritization matrix comes in, a fantastic 2x2 grid that helps you make smart choices about where to invest your energy.
Ah, the classic 2x2 grid. I find these so incredibly useful for decision making. Remind us, what's the sweet spot in that grid, particularly the quick wins quadrant? What makes those so attractive for a startup?
You've hit on it. The quick wins quadrant represents processes that are high impact but low effort. These should be your immediate targets because they deliver significant value quickly with minimal investment. The real genius of targeting quick wins isn't just about fixing a problem. It's about generating immediate, visible success that builds momentum and buy-in across your team.
Right. Show people it works.
Exactly. Think about the case of CloudSecure, a B2B SaaS startup. They initially believed fewer processes meant more agility, but this led to incredibly messy and inconsistent customer onboarding. New clients were frustrated, and the sales team was constantly troubleshooting. By identifying this onboarding process as a quick win and simply putting in place a straightforward, clear process, maybe a checklist, a short internal guide, they managed to cut their customer onboarding time by a whopping 40%.
40%? That's huge.
It really is. That's a measurable, impactful result that everyone could see and appreciate, reinforcing the value of processes.
Okay, so you jump on those immediately to build momentum and prove the concept. What else helps founders avoid that dreaded rigid bureaucracy trap while still building structure?
Another absolutely key tool, particularly for the early foundation stage of your maturity journey, is lightweight process documentation. The fundamental goal here is not to create massive, intimidating manuals that no one will ever read.
Yeah, nobody wants those.
Right. Instead, it's about capturing essential information without adding burdensome overhead. It's about clarity and utility. This can take many forms. Simple visual process maps that anyone can quickly glance at and understand, concise one-page process guides. Bakare even suggests that if you can't distill a core process onto one page, it's likely too complex for a startup, forcing you to simplify.
Oh, interesting constraint.
Yeah, or even quick video demonstrations for more complex tasks. The key is that the documentation serves the process, not the other way around.
That makes so much sense. It's about clarity, about utility, making it genuinely useful and accessible, not just a box-ticking exercise. And this notion of lightweight, agile processes links directly to Bakare's 5 core process design principles, which are absolutely crucial for ensuring your processes actually help rather than hinder your operations, keeping you agile even as you grow. Can you run through those quickly?
Sure. First, outcome orientation. Focus relentlessly on the desired result, the why. Don't get bogged down in the steps if they don't directly contribute to the outcome.
Okay, focus on the goal.
Second, appropriate standardization. This is about finding that elusive right balance. You don't want to overstandardize everything, but you standardize enough for consistency where it truly matters, like safety, quality, or legal compliance.
Not too much, not too little.
Third, clear ownership. Every process from start to finish needs a clear owner. This individual is accountable for its design, its performance, and its ongoing improvement. Without an owner, processes wither.
Someone's got to be responsible. Makes sense.
Fourth, minimal viable documentation. As we just discussed, only document what's absolutely essential to do it right. If it's not adding clarity or consistency, cut it.
Keep it lean.
And fifth, built-in feedback loops. Processes are not static. They need constant input. Design ways for them to learn and adapt continually, whether through regular reviews, performance metrics, or direct feedback from the people using them.
So they evolve over time.
Exactly. These five principles are truly the bedrock for ensuring your processes are living, adaptable tools that empower rather than rigid dead ends. They keep you agile. And to actually put these principles into action, Beccaria outlines a clear, systematic process implementation roadmap. It's discovery, design, pilot, scale, and optimize.
A clear sequence.
Yes, an iterative sequence. You discover the need, design the solution, pilot it in a small area, scale it across the organization, and then continuously optimize it. And to ensure these processes truly stick and evolve rather than falling into disuse, some level of lightweight process governance is needed. This is key to preventing what Beccaria calls process decay, that insidious, often unnoticed slide where processes, once helpful, become ignored, outdated, or just plain burdensome.
Like a garden that needs weeding.
That's a great analogy. If you don't consistently weed it, those processes will get choked out by chaos again. Governance, in this context, is simply about that light, consistent weeding and nurturing to keep the processes healthy, relevant, and thriving. It's about discipline and consistency, not heavy-handed control.
This has been a truly illuminating deep dive today. We've gone from understanding the crucial distinction between enabling and bureaucratic processes, recognizing that not all structure is bad. In fact, good structure is essential. We then journeyed through Emmanuel Beccaria's concept of the process maturity journey, breaking down those four stages: foundation, standardization, optimization, and excellence. And we clearly saw how progressing through these stages isn't just about internal tidiness. It directly fuels the process-first revolution flywheel, enhancing profitability, improving speed and quality, reducing chaos, and enabling truly efficient scaling.
That's right. And we wrapped up by covering some incredibly practical tools to help you on that journey. How to strategically prioritize your efforts using the process prioritization matrix, the power of embracing lightweight documentation, how to design truly effective processes with those five core principles as your guide, and finally, having a clear roadmap for implementation backed by lightweight governance to prevent that process decay. It really is all about building that operational muscle, getting stronger and more efficient over time, just as you would with any other critical aspect of your business. It's a continuous investment that pays dividends.
And as Beccaria says so powerfully right at the end of his book, the process revolution starts with you. It's incredibly empowering. So here's a thought to leave you with, something to chew on until our next deep dive. Think about just one small area in your own work or even in your personal life where you consistently feel a bit of chaos, some unnecessary friction, or perhaps a task that just never seems to go smoothly. How could you apply just one single concept from today's deep dive? Maybe sketch out a quick one-page process guide for something you do repeatedly, or use that process prioritization matrix idea. Is there a quick win, hiding in plain sight, a high-impact, low-effort tweak that could bring immediate value? What simple small step could you take this week to begin your own personal process revolution, to bring a little more structure and potentially a whole lot more value and peace of mind?